grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins, and mom and dad, for the next 10 minutes, I'm going to address you all. Okay? The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 22, to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, I'm going to, you know, if you come to this church more than once, you know we study Hebrew, right? We could leave that verse of scripture just right there. Train up a child, right? Teach a child. Basically what that means, right? Well, in the Hebrew language, it's just a little bit deeper. And John and Natalie, brace yourself because it's going to put a little more emphasis on you, too. Because you are the parents. Amen? And it's all right if she cries. We're good with that. We can talk over babies, all right? Hallelujah. Train in Hebrew is a word kanak, and it means to initiate, to dedicate, to discipline, or to train up. I'm going to say that again. It means to initiate and to dedicate. They have brought Hope here today to dedicate her to the Lord, to the ways of God. For the parents, this is your day to make a vow that you are going to train up your child, dedicate your child, initiate your child in the ways of God. Amen? Okay, I want to make sure we got that. This word's used 5 times in the Hebrew Bible, and in all 4 other times it is translated as dedicate. But here, speaking of children, it means to train, initiate, dedicate. When it means to initiate, if you're going to train a child, guess what, parents? It means you initiate the training. You have to take the responsibility to be the one that introduces her to Jesus and the ways of God. Somebody say amen or oh me. The rest of you family, it's up to you now not to stand in the way of mom and dad training her, initiating her in the ways of God. And I'm going to say something. I don't know if it's going on in this family. I doubt if it is. But I've seen other families, you know, grandparents take those grandkids and say bad things against parents. Now, I know the grandma that's here today is not going to do that, okay? But for family, mom and dad's taking a vow today to raise up a child right, to initiate her, dedicate her into the ways of God. The rest of the family, you have to undergird that and strengthen that. Somebody say amen or oh me. That also goes for her church family. Amen. You, when she is here, you're to show her the love of Christ. Amen. Not to think, oh, there's another little spoiled brat. No, you're to train her up, show her the love of Christ. Amen. My wife's mad at me now. We don't think that about children around here. You know, most of the time when parents bring their kids here, they're worried about what the kids will do. Man, Debbie and I, we raised 4 boys. I'm not saying they're perfect, okay? But we've been to this. We've done this rodeo before once or twice, okay? So, one day there was 2 or 3 boys downstairs. They was making a little racket. Sometimes she plays soccer, indoor soccer down there with them. I haven't figured that one out yet. But anyway, you know, I had total confidence in her. They might have made a little noise, but she had it under control. She won't let 4 little boys whoop her, you know. Train is far more than simple teaching. It is a dedicated lifestyle that directs, regulates, and impresses upon the child in every part of their life the path to be chosen or taken. I'm going to read what the Apostle Paul said to that young minister, Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. I need an extra hand. Here we go. Verse 12 says, Paul says, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now, if I could just camp out here just for a minute, Natalie and John. We live in a time frame when there's a new upheaval or new birth of new age and paganism. And there are many people out there that will try to deceive. They use Christian terms like love. They'll even mention Jesus. But they're really trying to deceive. And it's really more important today than when I grew up to train up a child, to teach a child, to dedicate them to the ways of God, so that they'll be able to use that godly wisdom when they face those things as a young adult. Somebody say amen or oh me. Back to Proverbs 22. But Paul told Timothy, these are things you learned from childhood. Amen. I wish I would have learned more in my childhood. How many? I was being trained, I just didn't pay much attention. But one thing I will tell you, I was the most miserable sinner because my parents taught me in the ways of God. And even though I strayed, my heart and my mind were always on God and what God was thinking of me. All right, let me keep going. The writer of Proverbs, Solomon, in all his wisdom, he said, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart. The word way here simply means a road or a path or a journey. Life is a path that begins at birth. Amen. I deal with a lot of people who had horrible childhoods, who are now, you know, not able to function in certain areas of their life as an adult because of the way they were treated as children. So life is a journey. It's up to you, Natalie and John, to make sure her journey is a godly journey. It's up to the family to make sure that God is mentioned in every area and aspect of her life. Let me keep going. This is not a simple direction toward which one is pointed, but this is a specific path to be chosen. This goes against the grain of many younger parents who let their children do the choosing. I remember one day I asked this woman, I said, how come your little boy didn't come to church? Because it seemed like he liked to come to church. You know, and then she didn't show up either. And I said, how come you didn't come to church? We missed you. She said, well, he didn't want to come today. I said, wow, that's something. I said, you know what? When I was his age, my mom never gave me a choice. I was like Reverend Hagee. He said he had a drug problem. He said every time the church doors were open, his mom drug him to church. Well, that was me. There was no option. There was no asking. If my mom would ask me, you know, even as a young teenager, you want to go to church? You want to sleep in? Well, first I would have thought mom was sick. Something would happen. She'd hit her head or something. You know, that just was no option. Those choices just weren't given. And I can honestly tell you this. How many of you, your worst decisions that some of us have made was at a young age, when we made them on our own? So, as Hope goes down this journey of life, you're going to help her choose. And in certain areas, you'll make the choice for her as she's younger, okay? Let me keep going. This way is a specific path of devotion to a particular path of life, thereby removing all others. She's dedicated to one true God, no other. No matter what anybody says, there is only one path to the one true God, and that is Jesus. We live in a society of universalism that say all paths lead to God, but we know that not to be true. There's only one way. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. The writer of Proverbs says to train up a child in the way he should go, And the phrase "he should go" in Hebrew is the word "pay." It is used 500 times in the Hebrew Bible, and this is the only place that it is translated with this phrase, "he should go." But let me show you its basic meaning. Hang in there, I'm almost done. The basic meaning of the word "pay," or this phrase, "he should go," is mouth, or the instruction of the mouth. You will instruct your child by the words you choose. How many of you grew up with a parent that cussed like a sailor? I seen a comedian one time. Well, I can't say that. I better move on. But he thought his brother's name was a bad word, okay, because his mom said it often. I know people, I deal with people all the time that growing up, they never got one word of affirmation. Nobody told them they loved them. Nobody said, "You did a good job." They always pointed out, I know a guy that he had three younger kids, and he was the oldest son, and his mom left him, just up and left him. So his dad worked, and so when he got home from school, he cooked for the kid, his other siblings, and he also did all the laundry and took care of them until dad came home. And he said, dad would come home, and instead of telling me, "You know, you did a great job," he'd say, "Well, you didn't feed the dog. Or you didn't take out the garbage." He said, I never heard my dad one time tell me that I did a good job. And see, the words you speak to baby Hope are part of that instruction in godliness. Amen? You have to be the example for her. Because like it or not, what's that country western singer that has that song and his boy spills his food in the truck and he says a cuss word and he says, son, where'd you learn to talk like that? And he said, from watching you, listening to you, dad. So like it or not, John and Natalie, they are going to imitate you. She is going to imitate you. Moving right along. In Solomon's wisdom for parents, Solomon's wisdom for parents is not to simply point your children in the direction you want them to go, but as parents, you are to walk with them and take them down the path of instruction in God's ways. The path of God requires full devotion and dedication and commitment to the path or the way of God. Many parents point their children in the direction and hope they do not get distracted. And today, there are many distractions. Athletics, I played sports. I love athletics. School activities, entertainment, worldly fashion, peer pressure, and many more that will try and pull your children away from the way. Like I said in Sunday school this morning, God's not against Ironton Fighting Tiger football. God's not against athletics. But it's when athletics take God's place, that's when the problem arises. It's when money's, how many of you know you found money's a good thing? Okay? But when money rules your life, now we have a problem. Moving right along. As parents, you will set her on the path of God, and your lives must be a living example to her. Your instruction must be absolute, unwavering, and unapologetic. Now, just when I was getting ready to bring her up, can she come up? All right, you and John bring her up here, and then John, bring all the boys with you too. Stand them to your left. And then the rest of the family, I want you to fill in behind them. Just stand down here. Stand right here. Come on over here. Face me. Turn around and face me. There you go. I got to be able to see y'all. All right? The rest of the family, fill in behind. Hallelujah. Now, Natalie and John, in Hebrew, the word love is ahava. And Ahava does not simply mean I love you. Of course you want to tell her you love her. But love is commitment. Love is understanding your responsibility to that commitment and being responsible to fulfill that commitment. I wish someone would have told me that when I was a young man at 19, holding my oldest son in my hands for the first time and being overwhelmed by the fact that all of a sudden I am responsible for another life. That was a big deal at my time. And at 19, Nathan, I was pretty self-centered. I was still playing in 3 softball leagues every summer and 2 basketball leagues. And if I had it to do all over again, I'd just quit. And I would focus 100% on those boys. She is beautiful. So, I get a hold of her now. Come on, pretty girl. We're going to bless her, okay? Lean back there a little bit. There you go. Reach your hands out here, church. Father, we love you. We praise you. We magnify you. We thank you, Lord, for children. We thank you, Lord, for baby Hope. Oh, Father, I just thank you, Lord God. Let her know right now that I'm going to give her back to her mom. Father, I just thank you that you're blessing her, Lord God, that she will be trained up in the ways of God, that she will serve you all her days, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that Lord God, you will guard her, that she will be trained up in the ways of God, and she will serve you and be a mighty woman of virtue and power. And Lord, we give you glory, honor, and strength in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to give you to mommy. And she might be going to be a preacher. I don't know. She drowned me out.
Now,
it wasn't that bad. Jubal, you should have told her it wouldn't be that bad that I was a nice guy. It wasn't that bad. He's not that mean. All right, let's pray one more time. Father, we love you. We thank you for children again. We thank you. I pray you bless this family. Bless these parents, Lord God, as they train this child up in the ways of God, that she will be a blessed and mighty woman of virtue, Lord God, and she will serve you all her days. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. And she got a beautiful new dress and everything. Hallelujah. It's all better now. Amen. Amen. All right. Glory to God. You can be seated. We're almost finished. I'm going to loose and let you go here shortly. Hallelujah. God is so good. Jackie, how about you and Debbie helping me with communion? Hallelujah. Glory to God. On the night Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it. And he told the disciples, he said, "This is my body." So something that the disciples had practiced from children, the Passover meal. Jesus radically personalized their Passover meal when he said, "This is my body. This is given for you." And we know the Bible tells us that Jesus was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed and made whole. Amen. We also know that bread is something that sustains life. It's food. And when in a Jewish betrothal ceremony, when the young man goes to the young lady's house, they bring them in, they negotiate a contract, a bridal price, and there's a contract written, and then they eat a meal. And so that bread represents that covenant meal and that betrothal ceremony. And the cup you're about to get, the cup represents that fourth cup that the bride would be the only one to drink of. And by drinking of that fourth cup in that Jewish betrothal ceremony, it was her vow to her bridegroom that she would remain faithful until the day of her wedding. Somebody say amen or oh me. So when we take it today, it represents the blood of Jesus, the life of Jesus. The Bible says that life is in the blood. So it represents the life of Jesus, but it also is symbolic of our vow to him that we will remain faithful until he comes. Amen. I usually do that after everything served, but for the sake of time, I've speeded the process up today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I tell you what, you can take a room full of sad women. I mean the saddest of women. And you bring a baby in that room, and they will all light up like Christmas, like a Christmas tree. Nothing like a baby. I was lamenting the other day that my oldest grandson turns 10. We need another one. Our youngest, the youngest one turns 10, sorry. And I'm like, we need another one. But the prospects are pretty grim. You know, I still hold out hope. Everybody been served. Hallelujah. Give me one of those out. Get bread out. Amen. You got your bread? Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for the body of Jesus. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you allowed yourself to be wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon you, and by your stripes we are healed. And today, with thanksgiving in our heart, in remembrance of you, in remembrance that you are the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, that you are the immerser, baptizer in the Holy Spirit, that you are our high priest interceding for us right now, and that you are our soon coming King. With thanksgiving in our hearts, in remembrance of you, we eat of your body this morning. Hold your cup up. Now, around here, we like to say L'chaim. L'chaim means to life. And we know that that life is in the blood, and at Calvary, Jesus poured out his life. And he said that I come to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. And what he was talking about was not houses, cars, land, or anything like that. He was talking about your relationship with the Father. You can have as much of God as you're willing to put into that relationship. Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for your life. I forgot to say L'chaim. You ready? One, two, three. L'chaim, to life. Hallelujah. Now, before y'all run out of here, anybody need an offering envelope? Glory to God. God has been so good to you, you ought to praise him. Hallelujah. It's good to have all of Hope Gloria Sue Graves' family with us today. Hallelujah. Everybody get an offering envelope needs one. Everybody got two needs two. We're good then. Father, we thank you for Seed Week, Son, your kingdom. We thank you, Father, we place that seed in the hand of a mighty, awesome God that you will use it to expand your kingdom and you'll cause a harvest back to the sower. For that, we give you glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen.